You want to go ahead and talk? Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new edition of the podcast Word Bros. My name is Bob. Hello, and I am joined, as always, by my dear friend, my handsome friend, my lovely friend, Kevin Cuff.
I don't know about all that. That's a good intro, though.
Own it, bro. Own it.
I'm going to go with it.
That's you. We are the Word Bros. This week, we got a pretty exciting show. I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited about every show we do because I get to talk to you.
Oh, you're just saying that, but I'm unimportant. We can talk on a Wednesday afternoon.
Well, we do, but it's not the same as when we talk here because there's other pressing needs involved during the day and such. So
pressing needs
like children.
Yes, and jobs and stuff.
And jobs and all that. And that doesn't happen when we talk at night in your basement.
Oh, Lord. Yes. Well, you're in your room and everybody's hanging out and we're having a nice time. And this week we're talking to Tony Gregory.
I think that's how you say it.
He is we'll find out. He is the artist on a couple big books, a couple super books. He's doing a book called Deuce of Hearts, I believe.
Yes, with Ricardo Moe.
Yeah, Ricardo's a good dude, man. I've never met him in person, but he's one of those guys that seems nice on Twitter. If that makes sense, like he's a good.
A lot of the show is judged by people we think are nice on Twitter.
Though. Yeah, like he's really nice. We've tried to have him on, but we can't figure it out because the
time difference.
Yeah, the
he's time in difference. The UK.
Yeah, which is just
by the time we are ready to go to bed, he's having a spot of tea.
A spot of tea.
He's having a spot of tea and watching football.
He might not be a football fan. That's not
I'm totally kidding.
A spot of tea.
He might be. What's that stuff I tease? I was teasing Rich from the comic shop about it before. Marmite. That's what it's called. It's supposed to be like this black tar jelly crap. It's supposed to be.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, Rich knows what Marmite is. I'm gonna make fun of him again about it because he's like, that shit's gross. That's exactly what he said. That shit's gross. And I laugh. I was like, I thought all English people like that. He's like, that's because you're a fucking American. And I laughed.
There you go.
Because it's true. Because he's not lying. Because you do get those kind of foreign inferences that you can see in a movie or something. And you go, oh, I think all people there like that.
Nah, son, that ain't it. It ain't like that.
It doesn't work like that.
Sporty!
I like how you say it like you're like some newsboy. Like some kid trying to give you the paper.
It's my Monty Python's English accent.
I haven't heard this one. All I usually get is everybody sounds like Fredo. So
no, that's my silly British accent. And then if you're ever in the mood to listen to a really good playthrough podcast, which is like listening to people play a game, there's one called Douglas and Dragons where they play Pathfinder, and there's a dude on there named Doug Michelle who does a voice for a character named Basil Bloodlord, and he talks like this, mate, which is another very good British accent. That's right, mate, governor. I like silly British accents, but whatever. But yeah, so Tony's a really talented cat. He's done some work with our friend Corey on Dr. Crow. But yeah, so we got a big show coming up. So without any further ado, let's speak to Tony Gregory. Yes.
Yeah.
I can hear you. I mean, I can hear you. It's very faint. But Kevin, you're not wearing headphones either, are you?
No, I should put my headphones on.
Put your headphones on. Maybe you'll hear him better. God, this is the biggest pain in the balls in the whole wide world.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a long time coming because Kevin's sleepy ass.
Yeah, Kevin slept through the first interview. You might have been better served by that.
Well, oh. We would have had the same problem, so maybe.
Kevin no, but, but if Kevin slept through the interview, that means it never happened. We wouldn't have to go through all this uncomfortableness of, hello, are you there? Hello? 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 But I guess
I can hear you now.
Absolutely, it wouldn't be my life.
Well, you know what, man? I mean, nothing's easy. And I think we're all comic creators. We're all in the biz. I think we know that. We know nothing comes easy.
No. Yeah, definitely not in comics. Especially.
Oh, I can hear much better now.
It's because you have fucking headphones on. It's a miracle what headphones can do.
It is.
Because the sound is going directly into your ear holes.
This is technology. I live in the woods. So.
I hear you guys great.
Good.
Oh, sweet.
I don't think your woods compares at all to Tony's woods, because are you actually at the vault compound in Montana where all you guys live?
Well, I'm at home right now, but yeah, I mean the vault office is right around
the vault compound. That's a really cool name for that. It sounds like a structure, like a base, like they have like this G.I. Joe base. That's what I'm imagining, like with a big vault comic symbol on the outside.
The vault pound.
Yeah, because most of you guys are based out of Montana. Isn't that correct?
Some of us are, yeah. As far as the publisher, yeah, they are. Tim is, and now Tim is working with them full time. And I am as well. But, you know, I'm a freelancer. So, I mean, I'm not on their payroll, but I do publish my books for some of them.
That's pretty great. And what's your new book called that you're doing with Vault Comics?
The book I'm working on now is called, well, I already finished drawing it, but it's coming out now. It's called Piece of Arts.
Okay. and that's with Ricardo Mo, correct?
Yes.
Nice. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
From Colossi and Malar World. He was one of the Malar World contest winners.
And I will say he's very friendly on Twitter. He's very good at Twitter. Ricardo.
He just deleted his Twitter account. So.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I just, I think he was just getting, I mean, Twitter gets you down, you know? I mean.
Yeah.
I think.
It can, yeah.
He just had a newborn, so I think he's probably just, you know, taking a little time to detach and spend time with the family and concentrate on those things. And, you know, Twitter, you can always come back to.
You can, but I love Twitter. I don't know what I would do without Twitter. Maybe that's why I need to delete it off my phone.
Yeah, I told him. When he told me that he left, I was like, man, I'm jealous because I wish I could sometimes. But I need it for work. It's nice to connect with everybody.
I love Twitter.
I love it too, but I also hate it. You know, it's like.
Yeah, I get it because if you're reading some stuff in the feed, it can get kind of like very depressing very quickly. If you're reading, the weird thing is, I only read people from comics feed, so I'm always happy.
Yeah, that's the.
I'm like, oh, that book's coming out. That looks dope. I want to see that. So, I don't read any of the news.
Even then, though, like some of the comics news, you can read it and you're like, oh man, that person did what or said what.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. That does happen, but. Most of the time, it's good news in comics, so I get happy. So, yeah, most of the time. Like, I would especially, say it's a good 95% of the
especially when your friends and people that you know and respect are doing cool work, like my man Tony. Do you see how we brought that back around? See that? That was pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was.
Now, your Google Hangout says Anthony. Do you prefer Anthony, or are we on that level where I can call you Tony?
Tony, yeah, we're on that level.
All right. Wow, that was fast. That was fast.
Level, like if you meet me, I'm Tony. So really, I mean.
Now, does anybody call you Anthony? Does your mom call you Anthony?
She used to call me Anthony when she would get mad at me. Nobody calls me Anthony anymore.
So, nobody calls me Anthony.
Unless you're a lawyer.
Does anybody call you Robert?
No. Do I look like a Robert?
No, I was talking to Bob. I was making sure, like, you know. Does your mom ever call you Robert?
No, no one calls me Robert.
I was like, why the hell is
See?
That? Calls me Robert.
No, nobody. Yeah, I was confused. I was confused there too, Kevin. You kind of threw everybody for a loop there.
I was saying the audio it's cutting in and out on me, so I'm catching.
No. Don't blame the audio on your bad segue. That's got nothing to do with audio.
My segues are always bad. I'm not a pro.
So tell us all about Tony. This book. Tell us all about yes. this book, Deuce of Hearts, that's coming out that you guys are crushing over there.
The first issue came out in November. Issue 2 comes out at the end of this month in January. It's about a Lothario named Sully, Sullivan Husk. And he has an app on his phone called the Heartbreaker app. And the app allows him to trade in the love of the people that he seduces for RPG-style power-ups.
Mm. Oh.
So the first issue starts off. He's been doing this for about 8 years, so we're about 8 years into his adventure or his experience with the app. And at the end of the first issue, the daughter he didn't know he had shows up on his doorstep. The daughter is the child of him and the love of his life, this woman who he was with when he started on this journey with the app. He traded in her love. Her love for good health, because he was terminally ill and he couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. So he made a Faustian deal with a nurse at the hospital to trade in the love of his life's love for resistance to illness. But the minute he trades in her love, she loses the ability to feel love ever again. He doesn't know
wow.
the part of the deal, though.
Oh,
he doesn't know this. And we're 8 years into this journey, and he's left a wake of like emotional destruction in his path of people he seduced and had fallen in love with them, who he's traded their love for charisma or luck or stamina or strength, something along those lines. And they are left emotionless husks. Hence, you know, Solomon Husk is his name. So when the daughter shows up on his doorstep, he has the, you know, well, I won't give away what happens in the second issue, but
okay.
Basically, the second issue dives into his backstory and what's going to happen from this point forward with him and his daughter and the decisions he has to make. It takes place in this fantasy world, kind of like Hellboy 2 Troll Market, where there's like this underground fantasy element to the world that, you know, not everyone's familiar with. And there's like go-betweens. So his go-between is this barkeep at this bar that's like his middleman. His connection to the fantasy world. So and we introduced that character in the first issue. And it just builds up. It kind of turns into a romp after the first issue. Like we said,
all right,
we set up who he is in the world kind of, and then as the story goes, it's a 5-issue series. We reveal more of the world, and it becomes more about the story between the father and his daughter.
Interesting. All right.
And whether he trades in the unconditional love of a child for immortality, like the ultimate power-up, because that option
Is
one of them at the end of the second issue. So what will Sully do? Will he continue being a selfish asshole, or will he do the right thing? And also, we have fun while we do that, while we tell that story. So yeah, we're all proud of it. Claudia Aguilar is the colorist from Kim and Kim. She did an amazing job on the colors. And Ryan Ferrier is the letterer. He did a fantastic job as well, and
that's what they call that's interesting. I'm really into that idea. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's different.
It's like I'm just sitting here. I'm honestly just sitting here thinking about that, going, huh? That's a really interesting concept. That's a high concept pitch right there.
Yeah. I was wondering.
That's awesome.
It's definitely it's got layers, and then a lot of people read the first issue. I read some reviews. A lot of people loved it, and then some other folks were commented because Sully is, you know, clearly a scumbag. And
yeah,
why do I care about this guy? It's like, well, why do you care about this guy? You have to read it to find out. I mean, it's more like it's more an essay on our current culture as much as it is a intimate father-daughter story, or a story about a guy. He's a selfish asshole. It's about like, mm-hmm. how we treat each other like commodities, and we buy and sell each other, essentially. like either literally or metaphorically. And also,
that's
like,
interesting.
Tourism is, I mean, he, in one of the issues, and I think it's the third or fourth issue, he goes to the corporate headquarters of the Heartbreaker app company that owns the Heartbreaker app. They also have like different internet apps like Google and, you know, different takes on internet services. And they own all these internet companies. And he goes to the corporate headquarters to kind of, I don't want to give away too much.
Don't say too much. You got to get them to buy the issue. And you know what? If people don't like the issue, then fuck them. That's what I say. fuck them in the ear. If they don't like it, this is high concept stuff, man. It's pretty interesting. Like, I'm just sitting here while you're telling me this, and I don't want to say I'm kind of blown away by it, but it's got that kind of Twilight Zone, Black Mirror vibe to it. That kind of like us versus technology, like what's important, like what we were just talking about, like the Twitter app, like what's really important, like, you know, the collection of friends and likes on Twitter, or like real human relationships with people.
Yeah, real human.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's cool.
And it, you know, and there's a lot of Ricardo's brilliant. So like, I don't know if you read Colossi or any of his other
I did
other works. He layers things in there. It's real subtle. And his scripts are super tight, like the tightest scripts I've ever read, where it's like, wow. I read it and I can visualize it immediately, like what he's doing, what he's going for. I understand his language and I understand what he's trying to get across. And it's simple, but it's deep. And you can tell that he's like a surgeon with a lot of it, you know, as a guy who actually like painstakingly goes over his scripts. And I'm sure he just drafts them until he gets it to where it's like a fine point, and he eliminates all the fat. And as an artist, you love that, you know. It's like, show me what's important, maybe something that's secondary, and then let me have fun, because, you know, like that's where I feel invested, is when I'm collaborating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to like a writer who's just like, oh, in this page it's gonna be from this camera angle and yada 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 and blah blah blah. It's like, look, what's important, because, you know, that's what I'm going to focus on showing, you know, in this panel or in this sequence. But don't load me up with all this crap that doesn't matter. Like, well, where, you know, where's my creativity? And also, like, what if I'm drawing it and organically something feels like I could sneak this in there, or I could, you know, move the camera on this way to make it more interesting. I don't know. I guess I'm rambling, but.
No, dude, it's fine. I mean, I find this interest, like some of these, when you talk to writers, they have a very kind of like, yada, yada. And I write and Kevin writes, so I kind of get how comics are made from a writer's perspective. It's always interesting to kind of hear artists talk about making comics and working on a script and what they want to do. And most of the good ones, and you're in that category, you're one of the better artists that I've seen, one of whose work I enjoy. It's, they all kind of have the same vibe. It's like, just tell me what's important and let me play. Let's work on this together. No one wants to be browbeaten over the head with a script. Yeah. They want to feel like it's a collaborative effort, from the letterist to the colorist to the artist, everybody. Yeah. And if you're trying to write as a writer, as a young writer, if you're a dictator, then you're going to have a hard time getting people to work with you on books.
Yeah, especially good people. But, you know, it's also
that's true. Good people.
I take pride in, like, working with the writer and getting out of their head what they want, you know? Like, I want to see their vision on the page, you know? So it's not like, from my perspective, I can only speak for myself, but I'm like, hey, I want to make this he or she happy, or they happy with whatever we're doing, and feel like I'm telling their story and doing it justice. At the same time, I'm able to express myself and have fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you guys do a good job of working in concert together for the betterment of the page. Like, you're able to put egos aside and just work what's best in the page.
I feel that way. Yeah. I mean, I'll leave it to you. Read the book and judge for yourself.
Ooh, that was nice. That was a nice.
What'd you say, Bob? Oh, Kevin?
I said that was nice. I'll leave it to you. You check out my book and check out the art. Did I do a good job? Didn't I do a good job? You have to buy the book. That's good.
Am I worth a shit? buy the book to find out.
Oh no, no. I'm gonna say this now to the people listening to this pod. Tony and I have
I don't know if it's coming out yet. We gotta find out. I got a piece. This thing's gonna be like fucking Frankenstein.
Well, so to all five of you that listen to I've been a fan of Tony's art for like 2 years now. So I bought a Wonder Woman piece from him like 2 years ago. So and I remember I said I really love the piece, and he goes, "It's messed up. I had to white out on it, so I don't wanna charge you too much for it." And he's laughing now, but I said, I love that Wonder Woman. It's a different take on Wonder Woman than I've ever seen, but I love it. And he's like, "Oh, I'll let it go for this much." And I was like, "Okay, I'm not gonna say no to that." So I did it. And ever since then, I've been watching everything he does. And I'm like, whenever he has a book come out, I'm like, I'm gonna buy that. The Carmen Police came out, I'm like, I'm gonna buy that. So I have, because that Wonder Woman was so great, you guys, that I paid attention to everything after that. I was paying attention before that, and it's not like I didn't see stuff I liked, but that stuff I couldn't afford. So you have to always shoot within your bounds. Like, so I was like, oh well, he said he'd let it go for not that much.
Don't tell anybody how much.
And I'm not going to. I won't, because that's unfair to you. You could have. I was willing to drop more on it. I'm not going to lie to you. When you said that, I was like, oh, I'm pleasantly surprised. I was expecting it to be a lot more. That's an awesome piece. So
yeah,
I always get pleasantly. What's that?
Your worth is tough, you know? Like, you don't want to. I'm always like, money is so gross to me. So it's like, I need money to live and pay my bills, but I also understand how gross it is. And then capitalism is a son of a bitch. So, you know? So it's like, I don't know.
It can be gross. I don't necessarily think money is gross. I think the way we use it is gross.
Yeah.
If that makes more sense.
And I think the actual paper is gross after a while. It gets really germy and kind of icky. And coins, like after you touch coins, you're like, ew, that's gross. My kids play with coins every now and then, and immediately I'm like, go wash your hands. Go wash your hands.
You know, like, no, smack your hand away.
Yeah, kid. Money. You know how many germs are on that thing, kid? So so you've got this thing in the books. You're done with this one. It's coming out slowly. Yeah. What's next, dude? What are you working on? What else are you working on? What else you got?
That you can talk about.
Yeah, that you can speak about.
I'm going to be launching a webcomic soon called Porkchop Robot Killer.
That sounds awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's going to be on Patreon. I'm going to do – this is something we can have an open discussion about this here. I was going to do a page a week.
Okay.
I charge $3 a month. You think
that's not bad.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
I'm going to have certain goals, like say if I reach – X amount of dollars a month, I could raise the page amount. So I could, you know, for every so-and-so amount of dollars, I could do an extra page a month.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, that's totally fair, especially if it's $3.
Patreon's a really great model, I think, for comic creators and for podcasters and stuff like that, because you can, you know, get like a little chunk of change that, you know, you can use for con tables and fucking travel expenses and a meal while you're at a show, you know, if you do it right.
Just bills. I mean, because comics is, you know, I do comics full time. So some months I'm like, you know, going out to eat once a week, and some months I'm like, all right, this is going to be lentils and rice. And not drinking any Guinness this month.
That's awesome.
So if I can, every month, if you can, you know, set yourself up to where you can count X amount of dollars you're taking in a month on top of your, you know, your work while you're waiting to get paid. Also, because, you know, comic companies, it's not like you get a check every 2 weeks. Like, you're waiting for money lots of times.
Quarterly, don't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're all different. Like, I know, you know, some of them are 30 days out, some are 60, some I know people who work for big companies who are still haven't gotten paid, or on Facebook, like, basically telling everyone, hey, they're not putting anybody on blast yet, but they're like, hey, I did work for a big company, and I've been waiting to get paid for, like, 4 months or something.
Damn.
Yeah, something ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
And it's by a company you wouldn't even think. And, you know, not, you know, it's up to these individuals to talk about their business publicly, but you see that all the time. And
right.
Like, and also, like, frustrating. And then it's like, well, fuck, man, why don't I just do my own thing? Or at least, you know. And I'm writing this with Ryan Ferrier.
Oh, that's cool. Ryan's a good dude.
Oh, that's awesome. Great dude.
Yeah, he's co-writing it with me, and he'll be lettering it as well. So, and he was stoked about it. I told him the idea. It's about a anthropomorphic pig in a dystopic Mad Max future where robots have taken over, and he basically roam. Well, it's another essay against technology. I'm a Luddite. He goes all over this wasteland. Robots, that's his thing. He's like a masterless Ronin. He's like a Ronin, like a masterless samurai, basically going around the wasteland, just destroying any robot conclaves or robot cities that pop up. But then, you know, there's a deeper story there that we're Ryan and I are fleshing out and figuring out. I'm almost like writing it as we go.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, Tony, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but from the money comment and from the technology thing, I think there's a reason you live in Montana, my dude. I think there's a natural reason why you're there.
Well, I'm not a Kaczynski.
I mean, yeah. Oh, I'm not accusing you of that. The beard is too well groomed. For that, but, yeah, but you definitely have that, like, I'm gonna cut off my social security number kind of vibe going on, and I'm digging that, man. I'm digging it. I like it.
Well, I could show you my fingerprints if I had any.
I'm surprised you have a webcam on your computer and it's not covered up by tinfoil.
Yeah, no, it is running on Linux because, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why I think what's it called wasn't working because of Linux. We've had problems in the past with Linux before, so.
Yeah, well, they know that Trump's watching. They're like, no.
Nope. They're out there, man. I know they're out there. Yeah, dude, I'm digging that. You got, and you do. I mean, like, I think you should run with that. Like, be the crazy woodsman who lives
What he's reminding me of is like the hacker, like that's the anti-hacker. That's like, computers brought me to where I am. In the middle of nowhere.
I'm totally into it.
I'm not really, like, you know, I go hiking and stuff up, like, mountains here and stuff, but I'm not, like, an outdoorsy type of person. Like, I live in a studio apartment in downtown Missoula, you know, surrounded by restaurants and bars and hipster coffee houses and shit like that.
So, oh, okay.
Oh, that's cool.
So to speak, but we're surrounded by mountains, so I can easily go get lost in them if I want to or need to.
And eaten by a bear, like, that'd be, I mean,
it wouldn't be a bear, it'd be a Sasquatch.
That'd, no, but... I've always wanted to go to Montana because I've heard it's lovely.
It's beautiful. Missoula is extra beautiful. Missoula is the best place in Montana, so if you come to Montana, you want to go to Missoula, don't go to Bozeman, don't go to Billings, don't go to any of those places. Butte, do not go.
Okay.
No,
so you're a comic book artist, and you're also on the Chamber of Commerce for Missoula. That's amazing.
He's doing art for Missoula's tourism board right now.
I'm the Missoula. Get lost.
Yep.
Come hide a body. Damn,
sell the finest tinfoil hats you can made in America, friend. Hell yeah.
And I also got this snake oil. It's really good if you put it on your wounds.
And fingertips. It devolves fingerprints very quickly.
Yeah. See, our last episode, we had Emily Pearson on, who was doing a book with Black Mass Studios called The Wilds, and she was telling us her idea. It was called, what was it called? Like Bad Dad in Baghdad? Like just some.
No, it was her friend's idea.
Yeah, it was her friend's idea that they were talking about.
Awesome.
Yes, I love, like, Kevin and I have a really silly idea too, and I love it when ideas just get. Just dumb, and like you just, it's like you want to push the boundaries of how ridiculous you can go with it before somebody just looks at you and goes, come on, man, like, yeah. What are you smoking? You know what I mean?
Are we talking about Pork Chop Robot Killer?
Yes, it sounds amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it was a weird idea because no one, like, you know, we're talking about artists and writers, and no one really, I mean, sometimes people ask me, but for the most part, no one asks me, hey, what do you feel like drawing? You know, there's like, hey, I have this idea for a pitch, and it's like, whether it's a great idea or not. But it's not my idea or something I feel like drawing. And I was just drawing these like junk robots one day. Like they're just robots, piecemeal robots made out of our everyday tech. So like a laptop or a cell phone or a microwave oven, or like I have one robot that has a washer and dryer for a head and it has like giant like amps for like body, right?
That's awesome.
And then like arms with like crowbar arms and, you know, flamethrowers and chainsaw hands and all kind of crazy shit. And I don't know, it was fun. It was just like, it was fun to draw it. And then a friend of mine was like, man, this is my favorite stuff of yours that you've ever done. I love it. So I was like, what can I do with this that would be like fun to draw? Because I enjoy drawing it. And then I just, my grandpa used to be called Porkchop. That was his nickname. He was this, like short, stocky Italian guy who was like immigrant, who came here in 1939 to get away from Mussolini. He became a foreman for a crew of boilermakers. They used to fly him all over the world working in steam rooms and factories and whatnot, like Brazil and Germany and after the war, you know, he'd just fly all over running crews. And he was this little industrious guy named Porkchop, who was just tough as nails and also great, salt of the earth guy. He was like non-prejudice, like open-minded, you know, union liberal guy, you know, real good dude. And I always wanted to use like a character called Porkchop in a comic in honor of him. But I was like, well, how, what the hell, am I ever gonna have, you know, what could I do that would
And it's just an amazing title too. Like, and you like, you drew me on, because now I'm curious, like, why is this dude called Porkchop? Like, that's
crazy. I'm in. I'm sold. So, I
mean, well, you talk to the right guys when you have crazy ideas. Like, we do stupid things in our comics because we have Elvis fight a giant monster banana. Like, come on, man.
Yeah,
you
sent me the image of the Walter drew of the.
Oh, the metal shark. Yes.
Yeah, I was just like, what the hell?
I'm really excited about Metal Shark, bro. It's something that we've been working on for a while. It's about this dude who got eaten by a shark, but the dude was he had sold his soul to the devil to make it famous in rock and roll. And so when the shark ate him, he became a minion of Satan. But he doesn't want to be a minion of Satan. He just wants to be a shark. So now he has to go out and slaughter all these people for the devil. And if he kills enough of them, then he can return to his shark form.
So it's like Spawn meets Jaws meets...
Yeah, it's kind of like the way we pitched it to one artist was like, If Mr. Show with Bob and Dave created fucking Ghost Rider, like that's kind of what it is. It's like he's the spirit of vengeance, and it's very silly and fun. It's not actually Satan who turns him into a shark, dude. It's Satan's nephew Beelzebub. Picture like a devil Guy Fieri, like with like the shitty like blonde tips, and who's like a total. What'd you say?
Frosted tips.
Yeah, frosted tips and like fucking like flaming bowling shirts and shit like that. Like he's a total tool. He's Satan's nephew. He needed a job, and so this is the job the devil gave him. And he's a total dickhead.
He's like if David Spade was the devil's nephew.
And yeah, it's perfect.
So
devil's nephew?
Yeah.
I mean,
Beelzebub, it works. It's just dumb enough to work. Like it's just stupid enough to work.
Yeah, and he rides a flaming motorcycle.
I could see a pork chop metal bro team up at some point.
I'm down, bro. I mean,
it could happen.
Let's make that shit happen.
Yeah.
let's do a split comic and then have them meet. That would be the best. Yeah.
There's like a Superboy punches something and
he goes through the ether into fucking Metal Shark Bros world, and it's just stupid, but whatever, man. Like, it's Kevin and I was driving home from a con. I live in Cincinnati. I was at a show that Kevin and I both did in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It's a 12-hour drive. I had to wake up super early and Kevin and I are on the phone at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm driving through West Virginia, and we're just fucking laughing our asses off talking about Metal Shark Bro. And I was like, we got to make this happen, dude. Yeah. So
it started off as a dumb conversation.
The way it happened was I was listening to classic rock radio in the middle of West Virginia, and they were telling us this story about how scientists have discovered that sharks like heavy metal music because they put speakers down into the water and the sharks reacted positively to it. And I just called Kevin. I was like, fucking Metal Shark, bro.
That's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
What determines a positive reaction from a shark, first of all?
I'm not sure.
They have dead eyes.
The DJ on the classic rock station wasn't a fucking shark expert. He's just telling me about AC/DC, bro. Like, I don't need it now.
I want to believe that. It reinforces my entire life. So
yeah.
I mean, it did for us too.
Yeah, and it's cool because you, Tony, I, and a shark have the same taste in music, so that's kind of rad. So if you ever meet a shark at a party, you'll be like, so I heard you guys are into AC/DC. I'll be like, yeah, AC/DC fucking rules, you know?
So,
what's up?
I never said I was into AC/DC.
I'm just assuming. You look like an AC/DC guy to me. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
I thought everybody liked AC/DC. I don't know.
I mean, it's all the same song over and over again. You can't hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's like if you like Thunderstruck or you like Hell's Bells, then you like AC/DC.
Pretty much like the whole catalog. It's all pretty
good. But you have to give them credit because they've never done a love song. Like, they've never done, like, a ballad or anything. It's just like, here we are.
They did You Shook Me All Night and All.
That's as close as they ever got to a
love
song. Yeah,
no, you're right. You're right.
I was talking about being on a fucking seduction line. I mean, come on, dude. Yes, the closest they ever got to, like, a romantic song was they were talking about a fucking warehouse of sex, like a production factory of sex. And that's it. That's as close as they ever got.
You mean Big Balls isn't a romantic song?
I don't think so.
I always thought that was.
Now, when is this Patreon thing going to jump off? Because I'm in, dude. Like, I'm so excited about this. When is this going to happen?
Well, I just got my buddy Mike Spicer colored the cover for me.
Damn, son. You got Farrier and Spice. You got all the heavyweights.
That's because Tony Great. Tony
I
Great.
I can tell. Wow.
I was like, hey, buddy, you remember this favorite? No. It's like, no. Mike's like one of my best friends. We're like brothers. We started out doing comics together. We broke in together. So, you know, he'll, you know, he's one of those dudes in my life. And I with him, you know, if you need anything outside of comics, even just life, you know. But, and Ryan and I worked together on some things. He's lettered a lot of the books and pitches I've worked on. So I was thinking about this idea of Pork Chop, and I didn't know where it could go, really. I mean, I had ideas about what I wanted in the story. Like, for example, when Ryan and I were talking about it, is like, you know, all right, what in your mind, like, what do you already have written or what do you already have as far as ideas? I'm like, well, you know, I explained the premise and the pig and the robots. And I said, also, I want to have a whale shark in it. And I don't want it to be, like, oddly beautiful. Like, I want it to be, like, something where people think is silly and ridiculous. But once they start reading it, there's, like, something beautiful about it on some level. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, like The Notebook or like, you know, The Fountain or something. Like, you know, something that's like something about it. There's got to be some charm or something to it. So that's, you know, why I asked him to help me, because I didn't know how to really. I'm not a writer. So people do bang on comic writers a lot, unjustly, I think. Like, you know, yeah, anyone can call themselves a comic writer. It's not, you know. You can just do one web comic and put it up and tell everyone you're a comic writer.
Kevin and I do.
Well, yeah, but you know, you guys are also do other things. You develop stories too, and you love the craft and you love the industry itself. You know,
mm-hmm.
So like that's you actually work as a writer. You're like, hey, you know, I revise my scripts and I research writing and I, you know, I want to learn how to be a better writer. And you know, that's where I think writers don't get the credit they deserve, because for comic writers, it's hard to get your work seen, really. I mean, yeah. Trying to break in, how, as an artist, I could just show people my work and it either resonates or it doesn't. But a writer, you have to get somebody to sit down and read a script, and they have to be in the right headspace to be able to see it. Because, I mean, you could write the most beautiful, brilliant script, but if somebody's in a shitty mood and they're not, you know, really feeling like, you know, using that part of their brain that day, you know?
Yeah.
And you hand them a script, yeah. They're like, oh, I can't, you know, what's the point of this, you know? Or why? Why am I reading this? Or why does the story need to be told? It's like,
yeah.
Wait. It's easy to find.
I always think it boils down to even something as arbitrary as like they hate your email address. Like that's a stupid email address. Like why do you have that? That's a dummy. I'm not reading this. Blah. You know, they're just instantly turned off.
Yeah. Oh, you live where? In Montana? Fuck, in Montana.
Everybody, bro, Montana's hot. The sun, that's the spot. And you guys, and Vault's doing some great books now. I mean, you guys got so much going on up there. That's got to be exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm blessed. I'm lucky. Just to, be part of it.
And everybody that we've met that does a comic at Vault is super excited and super nice. And they're just like really into comics. So it always reinforces whatever the company's putting out when you have great representatives of the product. And I believe that that's what they're doing. Cause when you said you were doing one, and then we've had David Buer on the show, and he does a great book. So we've had a lot of positive reactions from people that listen to what we're doing, trying to help other people in comics get their stuff out there, and also basically educate the general populace as to like what we do as comic book writers, because I don't think people don't understand it. I don't think from the onset, because I can't say how many times we've been at a con and someone says, "Oh, so you drew this?" No, I can't draw. I can draw Nicolas Cage as any superhero. That's about the extent of my drawing.
Yeah,
and it sucks too. So.
Well, I mean, Nicolas Cage, it's in the eyes. That's the
eye. Nick Cage is great at Moonstruck.
No, he's great. I love Nick Cage.
No, I'm totally being silly.
Wild at Heart is like one of my top 10 movies of all time. So.
Which one?
What was it?
Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart is great.
Okay.
Yeah. He's basically doing an Elvis impersonation the whole movie.
He is. Except for Elvis, it's if Elvis loved Cannibal Corpse. it's amazing. I love that movie. It's a Lynch movie.
That one and Raising Arizona is great. And yes. I even remember as a kid, it used to be on HBO all the time, is Peggy Sue Got Married. Do you remember Peggy Sue Got Married?
Yeah.
That and for some reason in Nicolas Cage's early films, he always spoke in like a weird accent because he was uncomfortable with the sound of his own voice, I read.
What was the one movie he did with David Caruso where he was all jacked and he bench pressed a guy, or he military pressed the guy over his head?
Was that called Jade? Was that Jade?
Maybe, I don't know. He did it with David Caruso. David Caruso quit NYPD Blue or whatever.
Yeah.
To be a movie star, and he made this movie with Nick Cage and it bombed, and that was like that was like kind of started his descent
into CSI.
Is it Kiss of Death? Kiss of Death. That's what it's called. Kiss of Death.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's the one where Nick Cage was a vampire and he ate a roach. Yes.
No, he wasn't a vampire. No,
that's Kiss of the Vampire. That's the other movie. No.
Kiss of Death. He's like a mob boss, like gangster guy, and he's like he is big. Like he looks like Diesel.
Wow.
Like a wrestler, like. In a way, because he had a mullet, I think. It was kind of like, maybe it's just
not hair. Mullet Nick Cage is the best Nick Cage.
Yeah.
He had a full head of hair, like real hair. You know, it wasn't like he has an afro. It's like Travolta hair, where it's like weirdly,
it's weird. It's a weird look he's got going on there, but he's sticking with it, bro. He's rocking it.
Keep it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel bad for your writers sometimes. I mean, lots of times I do. Because it's like a good writer, it's like those are your ideas, on the page. I'm drawing it, or the right artist is drawing it, but the writer is creating it too. Like I enjoy working with great writers because I like collaborating. Especially like a writer who writes really good action or scenes with little to no dialogue. I mean, that to me is like super brilliant because. I mean, lots of times I find writers will feel, insecure or something, and they feel like they need to write more dialogue or need to have more dialogue in the scene or in the story itself to like kind of push the idea because they're not confident in their idea or their skills is writing like slower, quiet scenes. But like I find it when the writer gets to the point to where they understand the action that they're writing and the visual that they're describing in their writing is enough to carry the scene, and they just drop in a little spots of dialogue and important points, that's when you can see the craft really starting to like come out. And I don't think they really do. They do get, people say writers get too much credit, and then some people say writers don't get enough. I don't know.
Well, same. It's the same with artists because I feel
go ahead, Kev. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, the internet connection is just all over the place. I didn't hear you start, so go ahead, start.
I said the thing with artists is I feel like they don't get enough credit because they do all the heavy lifting. So when we talk about the artists that we've worked with that we have a good time working with, it's usually because we'll have an idea and it'll be okay, but you get the right artist on it and they just kill that. Like they turn it into something 100% better than whatever we wrote on the page. And that's when you know you have a real deal collaboration going on. Like when you know that you've found somebody who gets what you're trying to do and then they bring it to the next level.
I mean, I think it was Sean Murphy was on Twitter one day, and someone asked a question of him, like, would you rather work with a, phenomenal writer who has, mediocre or poor business and, promotional sense? Or would you rather work with a good, a good writer, but who's also, brilliant when it comes to promotion and business and just, getting your stuff read or seen, and he said he'd always would choose the good writer who's great at getting the word out and talking about the book and has a good personality and who people want to talk to about the project itself. Who's a good businessman, so to speak,
because yeah,
he can elevate anything he works on. And I guess, he's Sean Murphy. But me, I like working with great writers, amazing writers, because I'm wow, it makes me want to up my game. So I don't know. I think I'd like to find the amazing writer who's a really good businessman. And then just marry that person and never let them leave.
Well, my mom used to say to me that there's somebody out there for everybody. So Tony, I'm rooting for you, buddy. Hopefully you'll find that person and it'll just be, you guys will just march off into the wonderful Montana sunset, never to be seen again, making comics, bro.
Maybe that's why I'm co-writing my own thing, because I'm just going to marry myself.
Yeah, dude, you're just a narcissist.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Sorry for all the technical difficulties, but I'm just going to blame Montana.
We just got internet last week, so it's... It comes on the back of
a
moose.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow, that's wireless. That's pretty good.
They give cells to us in these elixirs.
I would buy that as a commission.
Some snake oil salesman. Hey, son, you want some internet? It's in this glass jar.
It's moose piss in a jar, son.
Cost you eight.
Internet
cost
you down.
The internet moose.
I love it.
With the Coke snake on his back.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
I love it. I love it.
That is, yeah, I don't think I've ever drawn anything weirder than a Coke snake.
Well, there you go, my man. Put the internet moose in pork chop. That would be wonderful.
Yes.
That actually could happen. I could definitely, because there's going to be some other animals in the story, and there might be a human or two. But there might be a moose with an internet connection.
That would be the best thing ever. And You thought it up here, so
yeah.
Those listening to Word Bros who subscribe to Tony's Patreon, he thought that up here, guys.
Yeah. I'm really
great
excited.
Things happen on this show.
Well, let us know when all this stuff happens, and good luck with everything. And you're a very thoughtful and fun dude, and this was definitely worth all the headache of the internet connections and all that stuff to have you on. Really, really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was a lot of fun.
All yeah, right, man.
Right, that was Tony Gregory, who is just a wonderful dude. Be on the lookout for Deuce of Hearts, and I cannot wait for that the pork chop Patreon thing. I'm in, dude. And Patreon's a really great forum, and I really like it for webcomics, so I'm definitely going to try to get in on that one. That sounds awesome.
It does sound great. I thought that was a really funny, organic idea, and then a lot of times that's just where things come from. You just get this crazy idea and just put things together, and you make a comic out of it. It doesn't have to be deep and introspective necessarily.
Yeah, not everything's got to be Watchmen, but yeah, that sounds awesome, and it'll be good because Tony's killer and fucking Farrier's awesome, so that's really cool, man. I'm into that. So
to subscribe to that Patreon, man. Get that $3 in.
Yeah, buddy. Hopefully
that'll, that ride.
He said off air. He said that he's got 5 pages of it done, so it's kind of coming together at its own pace. So we'll keep you guys updated on that if you're interested. If you're as interested in that much as we are, then we'll keep you guys updated. So
because, I mean, just because, guys, anything with a title Pork Chop Robot Killer has got to be fucking
awesome. Yeah, that's made for me. So. Well, Kevin, good job, man. It's a pleasure to talk to you. We will speak again soon, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Word Bros.
Thanks for listening, and as always, you can follow us on Twitter at @word_bros.
Yeah, that's us, and thewordbros.com. So we'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you very much, and we'll see you later. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.